Coming up on episode 126 of Triton Cast, we're talking Triton Swim with Chloe Braun. She'll tell us what it was like to become the first Triton to get on the scoreboard at the NCAA Division I Championship. We'll learn what it was like for Chloe to move thousands of miles from her home in southern France to swim in Southern California. Now that her collegiate career has come to an end, could an appearance in the Summer Olympics be on the horizon? Plus, you asked for it, so we'll put Chloe through the ringer, as this week marks the return of our popular Quick Pick segment. You won't want to miss it. Chloe Braun from Women's Swimming is in the Triton Spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 126 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. No matter whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or ucsdtritons.com, thanks for joining us this week. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. Congrats to golfers Davis McDowell and Nathan Tseng, who garnered all Big West recognition. Good luck to the men's and women's track and field squads. They'll compete in the Big West Championship this weekend in Long Beach. And women's tennis captain Hannah Gamracy was recognized for her work in the classroom and on the court with a CSC academic honor. You can read about that on ucsdtritons.com. Now it's on to our Triton Spotlight. Two-time NCAA qualifier Chloe Braun from UC San Diego Swim joins us this week. We'll learn what it was like wearing the French national cap representing her country, how she ended up in La Jolla, the differences between swimming here and in her native France, and so much more. We'll start with her recent appearance at the NCAA Championship in March in this week's Triton Spotlight. Chloe, what was it like to represent UC San Diego at the NCAA Championships in Atlanta in March?
It was super fun. It was also such a big honor to, you know, represent the school that welcomed me, that made me, grow up, and that made me who I am today. So it was kind of like a full circle moment, which was awesome. And also getting, you know, to share this with two of my best friends, that was really special too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, having two of your teammates there as well. How are the three of you able to support one another in such a big stage?
It's so funny because we're super different. All three of us are like super different. I like to, you know, plan everything, have everything timed, have my routine. And the other two are like the opposite. They like to just go with the flow. Ava, she just wants to have fun, and she just, you know, she's just here to have a good time, and that's how she swims fast too, so it works. And Asha, it feels like she doesn't care, but she does actually. And she just, makes it very, like, a lot more chill. Like, she just, you realize that it's, you know, it's just swimming with her, and it also helps. I think we all support each other because we're very different and we all bring something. So it was really fun.
You competed in the 100 breaststroke at the championship this year. How would you assess your performance? And also, how amazing was it to score the first point in Triton history as a D1 program?
That was really cool because, I mean, last year when I went to NCAAs for the first time, it was kind of, it's not that I didn't expect it because it was my goal the whole year, but I, like, already being there was a big thing for me. So I didn't really expect anything else, and I didn't get anything else. I finished like 20th, I think. And then this year, I was like, okay, this is my second year. Now I want to have a second swim. I want to, you know, an A final would be awesome. And especially because I didn't have the B finals anymore. So it was top eight or nothing. And you were still able to score points if you were in the top 16. And so I actually swam faster at conference than I did at NCAAs, which is, I think, a little bit normal because of the adrenaline, the pressure, and also with the taper, you know, it doesn't really... We taper a lot for a conference, and then NCAAs is kind of like an awkward time after that because it's only 3 weeks. And so you can't start a new cycle. But so it's usually a long taper, which makes you really tired. And, you know, it's kind of like pushing it. But so the time was good. I still swam under 59, which was which was good. And I finished 16th, so 1 point, which was really cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so when you made your NCAA debut as a junior, it sounds like in a sense you were happy to be there and just soaking it in. Whereas this year you knew a little bit more of what to expect. Is that a fair assessment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I approached it completely differently. It was very different. Last year was very, I also dropped a lot of time going into conference. And so it was kind of like, whoa, like this is my time. I never swam under 59 seconds before conference last year. And then I dropped to like a 59.1, which was more than a second. It was like a second and a half. And so that was already huge. And when you drop that much time, it's hard to, well, maintaining it is already really good. And so in my head, I wanted to, go the same time, which I was able to do. And it was very intimidating at first. I remember getting in the pool, even with Marco and the other coaches, because it was also their first time at NCAAs, Division I at least, that we were all kind of, like stars in the eyes and just very, wow, this is huge and this is awesome. But this year I was a lot more, I was like, I belong here. I should be here. And it was funny because I was able to kind of see in Asha and Ava the way I was last year. And so I think it was good because I was able to be like, hey guys, this is fun. Like, this is very, like, we belong here. We're not like outsiders. We're here and we deserve to be here. So I think that also helped me.
When you walk in the venue for the first time, are you kind of starstruck and in awe of just like the surroundings and the setup and the grand stage of it all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially because the swimmers that are there are some of the best swimmers in the world. And these are people we look up to. These are people that I have had never seen in real life. Also, and they're very, like strong women, very impressive. And it was very, I think, which is funny because I actually swam better the year before, my junior year. So I think sometimes it's good to get inspired and kind of take the energy in instead of, taking it too seriously and putting too much pressure on yourself because, and it was also my last college swim. So I also had the extra pressure of like, wow, I want this to be a good one.
Well, yeah, let's go back to Big West Championships and knowing that NCAAs were the goal, especially because you had reached that pinnacle last year as a junior. What kind of pressure did you put on yourself going into Big West?
I would compare it my whole season, which was not a good thing. I compared my season to the previous one a lot because I had such a great junior season. And I was like, I want this to be the same. I want it to be even better. And I was able to swim a little bit faster, but I would get into my head a lot. And sometimes, because, the NCAA rule changed actually for this year. And it used to be before that, it used to be making either the A cut or an invited time. And this year, you could either get the invited time or if you won your event at conference and by swimming also kind of like a slower time, you would be able to go. And I knew that no one swam faster in the conference the whole season. So I would kind of remind myself like, hey, even if you don't swim as fast, you still have the option of winning with that slower time that I was able to, do the whole season. So that was okay. But definitely the pressure of reproducing the same thing as last year. And then I was able to feel that I could do something, I could score a point or swim in finals after I swim at conference, because that was, you never really know how you're going to swim after you taper. And, I was just, I should have definitely gone more with the flow and enjoyed, and have less pressure on myself, definitely.
Yeah, but you have a high standard. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I worked with my, you know, with Shane, Dr. Shane Saints, my sports psychologist that I work with. And he mentioned something that really stuck with me and that I remember the whole season. He mentioned, he's like, now you know what it takes to be at this level. And it's hard. And I think that I had the pressure of reproducing and getting to the same level. And I think reminding myself of like, this is hard and it's supposed to be hard. That definitely helped. So.
What are your, now that your time as a swimmer at UC San Diego has come to an end, what are some of your favorite memories as a Triton?
Definitely our conference, my junior year. We really wanted to win. And then we got DQ'd. We DQ'd two relays, which is huge because they're double the points as individual races. And the last session, we knew we were going to lose, but we were kind of like, it's the first time I experienced swimming for a team, really, and like not swimming for yourself, not even getting into your head about how much this 200 is going to hurt or we were just all together and it was such a special feeling. It makes me emotional even just thinking about it because we were all kind of like, let's just do this for the team. We have nothing to lose. It was the last session. We were all completely exhausted and we all came together and actually did amazing. We didn't win, but we did really, we had great times. We won a bunch of events. And it ended up being, I think, my best memory in terms of competition and like as a team, really. And then probably also all the team bonding events that we've had, because coming from France, we did not have this. It's very individual over there. And having moments where the team is more important than, you know, like the connection that you have with the team is more important than what you're going to, you know, do at practice or going to bed early. You're actually going to have a great game night with your friends and it's still going to make your practice the next day good. Like it's not going to change anything. It's actually going to make you happier. So this definitely I will remember.
That's such a great answer. And I would definitely want to get into the differences of swimming in France versus here. But you mentioned the team aspect, and I do want to follow up on that. How is swim a team sport? In other words, how can you help your teammates and how can they help you when, you know, you're in the water? It's just you, but how can they help you and how do you support them?
It's definitely an interesting, I would say, balance, because sometimes, you can easily get lost too by putting a lot into the team without prioritizing your own needs too. And then, you know, vice versa. It's if you focus too much on yourself and don't put enough effort into the team and if you don't support your teammates enough, then it's also not going to be a good, really like balance, I would say. But when I came here, this is where I really saw all the differences my first year. And now I'm kind of like, oh, now it's normal for me, but it didn't used to be. But everyone cheers on each other at practice. This is a huge difference. And then you have a lot more relays. Everyone wants to be in the relays because it's so much fun and the energy is not comparable to what you get when you're alone on the block, And I would say also a lot of the expectations are also for, like you have a lot of, you set team goals at the beginning of the season and everyone, it's kind of like a puzzle where we each, like each of us have to do, you know, our own, like we have to do our job, we have to swim fast, but it's also for a bigger picture. So you have the reward of swimming fast for yourself, but also the reward of winning as a team, which is, I think, for me, 10 times more rewarding. So, yeah, and I think the support that I've gotten for from people, I had never had that before. And I've come to really value this. And now it's really important for me to give this back. I love asking someone how their practice went, because sometimes if I had a great practice, I love talking about it. And so if someone's having a great one, I would love to hear about it, because I know how, you know, cool it is to share this. So, yeah.
Our guest on TritonCast this week is Chloe Braun. So you are from France. How in the world did you end up at UC San Diego?
Yeah, that's a very good question. But I think in France, it gets really hard after high school, in Europe in general, to really keep swimming at a high level and to keep studying and to stay in school. So most people in France would kind of either put swim on the side or put their academic goals on the side. And it was really important for me to be able to do both at the same time. And also, I think the experience, I was really looking for a big challenge. And because I've stayed in the same city my whole life, you know, until I was 18. And I needed to see something different. And I've always been super interested in, you know, different cultures and different, and even languages. And I was looking forward to speaking English too. So definitely that. And I was also looking for a cool experience that I wouldn't be able to get in France. I mean, in San Diego, you know, having the beach and also experiencing swimming at the collegiate level. I heard people saying, you know, it becomes a team sport. It's a lot more intense. You don't do as much yardage. It's a lot more fun. I had friends that came in the US and that were saying that they found the love for swimming again. And it was kind of, you know, oh, maybe like, I want to try. Even maybe it won't work, but at least I'll go for a year and then we'll see. And I ended up loving it and staying all 4 years. So
that's so amazing. How did you end up here specifically? How did that come together? How did you find us, or how did we find you?
So in France, they have those organization and people that kind of help you connect with coaches in universities. And so I started on my own. I started contacting coaches on my own. I was very, how can I say this? Very optimistic. I was contacting the top schools, never getting replies. And now I understand why. But it was really hard in terms of also administrative, you know, problems with the visa and immigration and having people. I was looking for someone to just help me with all of it. So you have recruiting people that do this for you and that help you. And so this girl that was helping me connected me with a bunch of schools, and Coach Marco replied to the email. And it was funny because I was actually about to give up because I didn't find a school that I was looking forward to go to. Because I told myself, I want to go somewhere that I know I'm going to like, that I, you know, I need to feel it. I need to feel that it's the right decision. And I wasn't getting that with any of them, really. And then I was about to give up and I was like, okay, I'll have this last call with UCSD and then we'll see. And then I had Marco on the call, on the phone. And so I didn't know, but he was Serbian. And so we connected on that because he knows how swimming goes in Europe. And so that was really nice to be able to have someone that understands what it takes to, you know, come from Europe and come from a different way of doing this whole thing. And we connected really well. And I was like, okay, this is probably a really good idea. And then I dig more into it. The academics, awesome. I was just, you know, kind of blown away that I would be able to be in such a good school and being at the beach and everything kind of aligned. I had a lot of criterias, you know, having a men's team too, because in France, I was used to, you know, we were all together, men and women. And that was really important to me because I think it brings so much to a team when it's men and women together. And then I also wanted to swim a lot of long course, which not all schools do, because in Europe, you know, the meets are long course. So I had to keep swimming long course. And yeah, and then the weather and just everything kind of aligned. And I was like, okay, like this is it. So yeah.
When you first came here in 2022, how was the adjustment to being away from home, to being in a solely English speaking environment, to being all the way in California, all of that?
It was definitely very challenging. I was ready though. I was ready to be challenged. I was ready to be struggling. I knew it was going to be hard because I had friends that did it. But I was, because I was looking for this different perspective, I think this different way of training, practicing, I was kind of, I think I approached it and I don't really know how to say this, but I think I was expecting it. So I was like, it was definitely hard, but when it was hard, I was like, okay, like, it makes sense. Like it's normal, but definitely having my family on the phone regularly helped a lot. I loved being away from them, but I also loved having them on the phone regularly. And then having friends that also had international backgrounds here also really helped, because culturally it felt really nice to connect with someone that knows how it is and that understand the difference. Because some people here, they don't really see that there are different ways of doing things. And when you come here and you're like, oh, but this is different for me, I don't understand why you're doing this. Like, what do you mean you don't understand? This is how we do things. And having people that knew both was definitely really helpful. Like my roommate that I'm still friends with, she lived in France and she lived in the US too. So it was so, so helpful to have her in order to adjust and understand also how it works. And then having Marco also as a coach that is from Europe was very, very helpful, because, you know, if I had a coach that only knew American, you know, collegiate swimming, I think it would have been really hard for me. So that was also good. And it was challenging. The language, oh my God, the language. Wow. I did not understand a single thing. I remember going to like the restaurant or having dinner with multiple people. And if I had to talk to someone one-on-one, it would be okay. But a big conversation with people, you know, talking back and, oh my God, because the time when someone says something, you have to process it and understand and then kind of think about what you're going to reply and then translate in your head. And then it already changes the subject. So it was very, but it took me like a couple months and then it was okay. So, yeah.
Did you consider yourself a fluent English speaker before you got here?
Oh, not at all. No. I think I was able to understand, like if someone would tell me a story if it was like a small conversation, like a small, slow conversation, I was okay. It took me a while to get used to the small talk though. Small talk. But now I love it. Now I love it and I do it too. I really like it. But I think I was able to understand. I was able to express myself. My vocabulary wasn't great, but I think it took me a full year really to be able to fully like say what I wanted to say without having to look for my words and stuff. But yeah.
So is it somebody might say something to you? And then you hear them, and then in your mind, you have to process it into French to understand it and decide what you want to say back. And then you have to figure out how to say that in English. Is that the pattern?
This was like that at the beginning. At the beginning, I would translate things in my head before and then translate it, say it in French in my head, and then translate it in my head in English and then say it in English. But now it's funny because my brain kind of switches. And now I think in English, which is so cool. I really like it. But then when I have to express myself in French, for example, if I call my family and I'm talking about what I'm studying or words that I've only been saying in English recently, it's going to be really hard for me to say it in French, because also because the words I'm learning in my, you know, my academic, in my like classes, I'm learning them in English. So I don't know how to say them in French, you know, like the business words and stuff like that. I'm just, you know, I just don't know how to say it in French. And so it's funny. And also when I get back to France, or if I go home for like a couple months, when I get back to the US, it's going to take me a little bit more time to get back into the flowy English that I had before I left. So, but yeah.
That's incredible. Our guest on TritonCast this week is Chloe Braun from Triton Swimming. So let's go back to when you were a youngster. How old were you when you started to swim?
I was really young. I started when I was probably 3 or 4. My parents wanted me to be able to, you know, be comfortable in the water. On if we're going on vacation, like if there's a pool, being able to, you know, swim. And I just kept going. And some coaches were like, oh, hey, like you should probably put her in this group. Like you should probably make her have an extra practice this week. And I kind of just kept doing it. And then when people tell you like, hey, like you're good at this, like, oh, okay, thanks. And then you just keep doing it. And then the more you get into it, the more you make friends there, the more you build like a little community. And most of my friends were actually at practice and on my team. Also because you understand each other. It's really weird when you're a young kid that you swim like 4 or 5 times a week. It's really, people don't really, you know, understand it. And so having friends that were doing the same thing definitely kept me going. And then I just kind of ended up there. Just not really, yeah.
Was there a point where you got serious about it?
Probably, well, it's funny because in the club team, I was, you know, evolving. I've always been in the same club team. They have kids from 3 years old to like a pro group. And it was a lot easier to evolve in this because there was never a problem where I was like, oh, I would have to move to if I want to become more serious about it, because I was already in an environment where it was possible to be serious about it. So. But I would say definitely like middle school, it was becoming a lot more serious. And yeah, when I started going to nationals, French nationals, and I think I was 14, this is where I was like, okay, I want to keep doing this.
And tell me about the competition when you represented your country in Rome and what that was like.
That was my dream. That was so cool. I still have the best memories about this. Also because it was Rome, which is the most beautiful pool for me. One of the most beautiful pools. It's outdoors. It's the Olympic pool from the Olympics. I forgot which ones it was, but they have an outdoors pool and it has like trees everywhere and it's just beautiful. And then you have another pool that's full marble. It's just full marble. So it was gorgeous. I loved it. And it was my first team, so it was the junior national team. And I was really looking forward to, you know, wear the national cap, the French cap. It was kind of a dream of mine. And once I was able to get it, I was so happy. I had some of my best friends there too. And it was a little odd because it was during COVID. It was in 2021, so it was right after COVID. And we actually didn't get to see anything else than the pool or the hotel. So that was not as fun, but it was really awesome to be able to represent my country, because this is something I've always wanted to do. And now I'm training to do it, not junior anymore, to do, you know, the real deal. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, kind of now that your time as a collegiate swimmer is done, what's next for you in the water?
So I'm planning on moving back to France. I've recently decided it because it's really hard to stay pro in the US. You need a lot of sponsors. You need also you need to be close to the federation you're swimming in because they need to see that you're here to consider you. And I'm also, I need to, I kind of want to get back to close to my family. I still miss them a lot, and being able to go back in my own country, I think, would be nice. And I'm planning on training until LA 2028. So a couple more years of training. And yeah, I'm changing club teams. I'm going into a new one, a completely new one in Paris. And yeah, it's gonna be very different, but I'm excited to see, to go back to how I used to do things and then kind of see how I swim and how I practice now that I have these two perspectives of, having the French one and the American one. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see how this goes.
And what would it mean to you to have the French cap on a worldwide stage like that?
So much, so much. I think that I've always wanted to do it, and now that I'm seeing it becoming a little bit more realistic. It also makes it a bit more scary because, but at the same time, it's very, it would be so rewarding, and I would be so proud. And even for my family, when it's like, because it's cool to swim, but if you don't represent the national team, I feel like to me, it's a little bit of not a standard, but it's like a next step. Like you're part of the best if you're in your national team. And so I would really love, but it's a little scary because they have a lot of what's it called, hazing when you get in the national team for the first time. I think you have to like sing in front of everybody, in front of the older
Oh,
ones, and in
wow.
front of the coaches. Yeah, so this part, it's kind of the thing that I'm not looking forward to if it happens, but it's part of
I mean,
the
would
experience.
you at least get to choose the song?
Probably. I hope so. I really hope so.
Well, just do something in English and they won't know.
Yeah, so no one understands. I mean, they would understand a little bit, but
What would it mean? So going back to France, what will it mean to have your family be able to support you in person?
huge, definitely huge. I really enjoyed being away for 4 years, doing my own thing, and still having them, on the phone, whenever. But I think the older I'm getting, I mean, I'm not old, but I'm maturing, I would say. And I'm seeing that I want to spend more time with my family, and I don't want swimming to be an obstacle for this. So I think it's important for me to find a way to do what I like and, live my life and what I want to accomplish while having them closer. And yeah, I mean, I'm not from Paris. Most of my family is in Toulouse in the south where I grew up, but it would still be an hour away, a flight, an hour flight, but it's still a lot more realistic, and I still have some family over there. So yeah, definitely spending more time with them, having them closer, and also spending more time with my friends that are still in France that I miss a lot too.
Well, you'll have a lot of fans here in La Jolla, Chloe. Best of luck with that. Before we wrap up,
I'm definitely gonna miss La Jolla, definitely.
well, when you're in LA, you won't be that far away.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully, yeah.
All right, Chloe, before we wrap up, you ready for some quick picks?
Yeah, of course.
Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee. Actually, sometimes matcha. But it has to be really good. But every day, coffee, definitely.
Books or movies?
I would love to say books, but movies. I need to be real with myself.
So
Movies.
you're a traveler. If you could pick and be able to travel into the future or travel into the past, which would you choose?
I would probably do past. because I think the future is a little bit scary right now. And the past, I watched the Michael Jackson movie, and I've always been a big fan of Michael Jackson. And so I would love to go back and be able to attend one of the concerts. That's one of my biggest, you know, regrets about not being born earlier.
Something very out of your control. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Mountains or beach?
Beach. I grew up close to the Mediterranean, so I would say beach.
Favorite season?
I like spring, but spring when it gets closer to summer. So not when it's June gloom and all this, but spring when it's not too hot, but it's still really sunny, especially in San Diego, I have to say.
I think I know the answer to this, but indoors or outdoors?
Oh, yeah. Outdoors. This is going to be something that I'm going to miss a lot about going back to France. Yeah, swimming. Now I'm going to have to swim indoors. So no more goggle 10 line.
Enjoy it while you got it. Breakfast or dinner?
I think breakfast. I think breakfast is my favorite part of the day. You know, after the morning practice when you can eat a lot before the next one. Yeah, breakfast.
French toast, pancakes, or waffles?
Oh, that's really hard. French toast is actually not French, by the way.
I assumed that, but that's what we call it.
Yeah, we don't call them French toast. We call them lost bread. Because you actually, in France, you use the like stale bread from the day before. So, yeah. But I'll say pancakes. Because you can make them in so many different ways.
Croissant or baguette?
Oh, croissant.
Okay. Yeah. Peanut butter, creamy or crunchy?
Crunchy. I think this is an unpopular opinion, but crunchy.
Favorite topping on a pizza?
Ooh. I'd have to say cheese, because I feel like your pizza is not good if you don't have cheese, any type of cheese on it.
Okay. Phone call or text?
Phone call. I think it's so much easier to call people because you just, if they don't pick up, it's fine. You text them. But if you have something quick to say, you just call them and then boom.
You and I talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but morning person or night owl?
A night. Yeah. Night owl. I have to be a morning because of morning practices that are very early. But if I could go to bed late and then wake up late, I would.
And we'll end with this one. No, we won't. I got two more. So for swimming specifically, indoor pool or outdoor?
For swimming, outdoors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then one place you've never been that you hope to go to one day?
Wow, that's hard because I want to go to so many different places.
You can give us two.
I would love to go to Asia because I've never been to Southeast Asia particularly. I think the culture is so different than what I've ever known. So definitely Southeast Asia. And something super cold, like the North Pole. Or I think one of them you can't go to, but just something super cold. Yeah, I'd say that. Or like Alaska or something. Yeah.
What will you miss most about being in Southern California?
The weather. I think even the food, because the Mexican food that we have is amazing. And I think we're lucky in San Diego. But definitely, yeah, the weather and also how nice people are and how relaxed they are here. Because in France, everyone is super stressed out. So
it's definitely a vibe, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like here, mean in San Diego? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's an adjustment for sure. Well, Chloe, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We'll all be cheering for you. Good luck.
Of course. Thank you.
What a pleasure it was to get to know Chloe this week. And we'll be sure to follow her training from afar and hope we see her back here in Southern California 2 summers from now. Coming up next week on TritonCast, we'll connect with Olivia Alegre from women's tennis. She played all season at first singles and was named Big West Freshman of the Year. Well, be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Thank you for listening this week. And don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you listen to podcasts. A reminder, you can check out any of our 126 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.